Scripts from Trial Maturita Tests 2013. B2 Level. Test 2. Section 1. Listening. Script 1. Part 1. My Nightmare Before Christmas. You will hear a true story of Jess, whose house was robbed just before Christmas. For statements 1 to 7, choose the correct answer A, B, C, or D. There is always only one correct answer. I've always had to share a room with my little sister, so when I got a cabin at the end of my garden, I was very grateful. Little did I know it would end up saving my life. I loved my little cabin and enjoyed the first few months there. Before I knew it, Christmas was fast approaching. My mum had spent a lot of time shopping for Christmas presents. Every day she came back from work with something new, but we weren't allowed to look, even though we all knew she kept them in her wardrobe. It was so tempting. The day our Christmas was ruined was a Monday. My mum and stepdad went to work as usual, but I didn't go to school as I was feeling ill. I woke up properly at 11:30 a.m. and looked out of my cabin window, where I could see the back door half open. I thought this was odd, as Mum had woken me up to say goodbye earlier. I rang the house phone from my mobile to see if my mum was in. Maybe she hadn't gone after all, but there was no answer. I wasn't too worried, but figured I should go and check, so I quickly got changed. As I was doing so, I heard car doors slamming from the road, but I didn't think anything of it. Now dressed, I walked into the house, and the first thing I noticed was that our TV had moved into the living room. Plus our house phone was hidden, and the drawers with our computer games and DVDs were open. This was a bit odd, but maybe Mum had been rearranging. I called my mum, who came round straight away. She agreed it was strange, especially because there was a plank of wood with nails sticking out of it on our sofa. But then she pointed out something I hadn't noticed. Something shocking. The drawers with our DVD and computer games were not only left open, they were empty. The farmers across my road came round moments after we noticed this and said they had seen a car speeding away. It was becoming clear we'd been robbed. They suggested we all check upstairs, so up we went, following the mud footprint to my mum's room, to find her wardrobe door was wide open. A handful of presents were scattered here and there, but most of them, the expensive ones I later found out, had all gone. We rang my stepdad and the police, who all quickly came round to investigate. Altogether, we lost loads of stuff, including my two brothers' most prized possessions, my mum's really precious jewellery, our passports, my mum's laptop, and spare car keys. Although it was awful that we had all that stuff taken, perhaps the most scary of all was the fact that the intruders had gone upstairs. I dread to think what could have happened if I'd been in the house and not in my cabin. In some ways, it feels like the thieves have ruined our Christmas, not just because of what was taken, but because of how unsafe we all feel. Luckily, though, we've all got each other this Christmas, and that's what truly counts.
Script 2. Part 2. An interview with Alicia Keys. You will hear an interview with singer Alicia Keys. For statements 8 to 13, decide whether the statements are true, A, false, B, or whether the information was not given, C. Some artists have late-night jam sessions or brainstorm in the car. Alicia, how do you write your songs?
Well, it's not a technique. There's no set way. Sometimes it comes to me, like I'm having a conversation and I have to leave for a second because I need to write down my thoughts. Sometimes it's just chords or melodies circling in my head that I don't have words for, and sometimes it's a million words and I have no idea what's it going to be or how is it going to become anything. And maybe for 5 years it's nothing, and then suddenly it's something. So there isn't a specific way it happens. Reading also sparks me a lot. When I read, I find I write differently.
There are so many scandals in politics and the entertainment world that it's hard to find a good role model. Besides you, of course, who is a good role model?
I think there are a lot of different people for a lot of different reasons. You can't really compare people. That's one of the biggest lessons I've learned, because comparing yourself to someone really stops you from being who you are. I tend to choose people who aren't alive, people I don't know. I take parts of people's lives and apply them to my own.
You're a singer and a dancer, but also a writer and a poet. What can we do to foster creativity in writing?
Sometimes, when my friends talk to me about their problems, I ask if they've ever written about them. I find that when I write, it makes things clearer and relieves me because I've got it off my chest. So, I find that by me doing that, somebody else might give it a shot. Just doing it and setting an example, you'd be surprised by how many people you inspire.
I have many friends with eating disorders and body image issues. You are in the public eye. Do you ever feel the pressure?
I definitely understand that. From the beginning, there's been a very big emphasis on what you eat and the way you look, and I remember it affected me greatly because it made me realize that I am who I am. I'm not ever going to be a stick-thin person. I think curves and a little bit more on the bone is beautiful. That's my personal thing, and I think that those who are very, very thin, well, is not becoming. In fact, sometimes the magazines fix the photos. Stars don't even look like that. I've seen pictures of myself, and I say, "Why did you do that to me? I don't look like that, and I don't want to look like that." We are all beautiful in our own way, and it's very important to embrace that. To be healthy, to be strong, to be smart.
You've been to Kenya and Uganda to help kids with AIDS. For teens who can't go there, what ways are there to help?
There are plenty of things you can do. With regard to my charity, Keep a Child Alive, it's very much about the idea that from nothing, you can become something great. You can go to the website keepachildalive.org and donate money, which is an amazing help. I'm telling you, just $2 is a help. At colleges, students have started Keep a Child Alive chapters to spread the word. I have had kids sell lemonade in the summer to help an incredibly smart college students who hold rallies and tell everyone about the campaign. So I would just say, spread the word, and anything you can do would really help.
Script 3, Part 3, 6 Practical Tips for Better Blog Content. You will hear 6 practical tips for better blog content. Listen to 6 pieces of advice. Below, you can read summaries of this information, 14 through 20, but in the wrong order. Indicate the order in which you hear the information by writing a number, 1 through 6, next to the number that represents that information. Be careful. There is one extra summary. Put X next to the number that represents extra information. 1. While it is debatable how good your content actually needs to be to rank in Google, there is no debate when it comes to attracting regular readers. Needless to say, your content should be unique and grammatically correct, but this is only half the battle. Your post should also be logically structured, well thought out, and interesting to read. Almost every subject is now covered by at least one blog, so if you want regular readers, your posts need to be interesting enough to compete. 2. When writing posts for your blog, you should not be aiming to please everyone, but you should be aiming to please your target audience. This audience needs to be defined right from the start, and each post should be tailored to meet their needs. What questions are your readers looking for answers to? What news is your audience interested in hearing about? If you cannot answer these questions, you are not ready to start posting a successful blog. 3. Try to discern what types of posts get the most attention on your blog. It is not really possible to write what type of content will be the most popular on your blog, but if you can establish what your readers most enjoy, you can not only concentrate on writing more of what they like, but you can also stop wasting your time on writing what they don't. 4. Just because you can write in a range of different styles, it does not mean that all of your writing styles should be illustrated within a single blog. Once your blog starts getting repeat visitors, this means that those readers have enjoyed what they have read, and you should therefore continue to write in the same fashion. If you have taken an informative and serious tone in previous posts, continue to do so. Constantly changing your writing style leaves little reason for your readers to expect more of the same, and therefore little reason to return. 5. If you want to keep ahead of other blogs within your niche, you cannot constantly be late with new developments. If there is news within the niche that your blog covers, you need to post it, and you need to do so fast. This is, of course, particularly important with fast-changing topics such as tech and travel, but it is not something that you can afford to miss regardless of your niche. The majority of your readers will read more than one blog daily, and you do not want to constantly offer them information that they have already read elsewhere. 6. Finally, don't forget that visiting a blog is supposed to be entertaining. While writing informative posts is important, the most successful blogs have posts that not only teach the reader something, they are also entertaining and fun to read. Don't be afraid to show your sense of humor in your posts. And if you have strong opinions on something, make sure that you illustrate them. There are now so many blogs online that informative content alone is not enough. You have to write with some type of style that separates you from the crowd.